This is a CBC podcast.
CBC podcasts are supported by the all-new 2008 Cadillac CTS. When you turn your car on, does it return the favor? Visit newcadillac.gm.ca.
It's Thursday, December 20th. An inspirational parenting book written by Britney Spears' mom has been shelved indefinitely after news that Britney's 16-year-old sister, Jamie Lynn, is pregnant. Currently, sources close to the deal say Mrs. Spears just never really got the concept of the For Dummies series. This is The Current Podcast.
Hello, I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. You're listening to The Current. Oxfam Canada's Unwrapped campaign, one of an increasing number of ethical gift programs out there this holiday season. The idea is that instead of spending money on traditional gifts for family and friends, you buy things like goats, chickens, cans of worms, or even condoms for people who really need the help. Many aid groups say these kinds of basic items can make a huge difference in the life of an individual, in the lives of families, or even whole communities in the developing world. But not everyone working in the charitable sector agrees. Last Sunday, a British education charity called World Right screened two documentaries in London that it says illustrate some of the problems with these kind of programs. Kerry Dingle is World Right's director, and she made both of the documentaries that the charity screened last weekend. One was called Keeping Africa Small, the other, I'm a Subsistence Farmer, Get Me Out of Here. Kerry Dingle is in London, England this morning. Hello.
Hello.
What did you discover about people on the receiving end of some of these ethical gift programs?
Well, really, the gifts and the message that's going out from Oxfam and the big charities and aid agencies here comes nowhere near the aspirations, needs and interests of our peers in Africa, in some of the poorest parts of the world. And these two films were shot in Ghana, but I think it's a much more general problem, and that is that, you know, whether you are living in a sort of rural village and living a subsistence life, growing just enough for your family to live on, or whether, you know, you're slightly better off and have got a slightly bigger patch of land, nobody wants to stay a subsistence farmer. You know, people want the sort of urban type comforts and amenities that we take for granted in the West. And to say, I think, that a bucket of worms, a pile of dung, a goat, a gaggle of geese is life-changing is so untrue. I mean, these are the things that people already have and manage to scratch a living with. And so for us to believe or be told that somehow we're massively enhancing people's lives and taking them out of poverty is A, a myth, and B, very degrading. It's almost celebrating the awful conditions that people are already in.
I'd like to play a clip from one of the films you made. This is from Keep Africa Small, and we hear in this clip Abraham God Bless Ashi, project manager with the National Youth Workers Association in Ghana.
International organizations are not really interested in industries where people will get employment to lessen the poverty level. No, they are not really interested in that. They are interested in their own programs that they think will benefit the people, and that's where they are always mistaken.
There have been many NGOs which come here to do activities on AIDS, such as the HIV AIDS education,
family planning,
teenage pregnancy, child trafficking, and what have you. What we really want is provide accommodation and better facilities that can enhance our lives and jobs.
Okay, so Kerry Dingle, where do you think NGO programs are failing aid recipients then?
Well, I think the problem is that a lot of the aid programs are based on the West's perception of what's needed, and that's informed by us having very low horizons in the West and a certain disaffection with our own consumer society and material wealth. You know, we don't like the rush of city life, we like the rural escapes. You know, all of those things impact on how NGOs are thinking. And also, a lot of NGOs and aid agencies, obviously, they have government funding, they're the conduits for that money, and they then impose, I think, those kind of ideas, and I'd say myths, on people who've got very little. So, for example, they don't like the idea that people in Ghana, for example, want industry, want manufacturing, want jobs, want to make products, whereas we think, ooh, nasty, dirty industry, we don't want those kind of things to happen. We like the idea of, you know, a nice patch of land and a rural idyll. Whereas for some people in Ghana, you know, a rural idyll is a hoe, a cutlass, scraping by, you know, a hole for a loo, no running water, electricity and so on. It's an absolute nightmare. So, of course, people want the big stuff, and yet these programmes, which these programmes eschew those kind of ideas and say, no, think small, basic needs, appropriate technology, make do and mend, and then impose, as we've heard in the film, an incredible number of what I would call behavioural change programmes, where they hope that people in the poorest parts of sub-Saharan Africa are going to, you know, want to go to their AIDS awareness programmes, child slavery, domestic abuse programmes, all these educational awareness programmes.
Are you saying none of these programmes are valid?
And not have the jobs.
Are you saying none of these programmes are valid?
I'm saying they really don't meet people's aspiration and need, and they do deny the kind of material wealth and development that is such a basic. You know, if you haven't got, you know, concrete walls and a roof, you can't stay dry and warm and have a light on at night, yet you're expected to go along and, you know, have some, you know, go to some workshop on how to treat women more nicely.
But isn't the point that if you don't have concrete walls and a roof too, that maybe you do need a few farm animals to help you get by?
Well, but people already have a few farm animals to get by. And so, yes, giving somebody an additional goat or giving someone who hasn't got any seeds that year some seeds is fine. But let's not call that development. Let's just call that what it is.
And what do you
think
it is?
The same.
Okay.
I mean, you might want to call it emergency relief. You know, aid agencies, when they do emergency relief, which is very important work where there's been floods or there's been a disaster, they call that emergency relief. But calling that development or life-changing, I think, is absolutely lying to the public. And the public in Britain, I'm sure that's true in Canada, really want to see poverty abolished, really want to help their peers. But if we work on the basis of a lie, we're not really helping anyone.
Okay, you talk about the farm animals, but most of these NGOs that offer those kinds of so-called ethical gifts also offer things like you can buy money for a classroom, for vaccinations, for a bicycle. They offer other things. Are none of those, in your mind, appropriate?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, everywhere needs those kind of things, and those things are, you know, are important to be, need to be funded. But I think, you know, as you discover in some of the films, is that countries like Ghana are quite able to build schools and to provide toilets and to those kind of basic things. What they desperately need is the resources to not only do that, but to move beyond that, to have electrification, to have industry, because, you know, you buy something for a classroom, but you won't see in those ethical gift catalogues an appeal for, say, £3,000. I'm not sure the exchange rate into Canadian dollars. £3,000 could put a village on the national grid to get electricity. So you have a classroom, but they can't actually have computers and the internet because they haven't got electricity. You know, everything, unfortunately, about the aid agency's outlook is very much about that small is beautiful, keep it local, we can't do much. And I think that's very damaging and damning in terms of what people need and what's really possible.
And in contrast, what does your charity do?
Well, in the first instance, we want to raise people's horizons. We want to say, let's reflect and let's understand the needs and aspirations of our peers. Let's understand, in fact, they are just like you and I. You know, kids in remote areas of Ghana know that kids in Britain are going to get, you know, iPhones and plasma screens and gadgets for Christmas. And yet what's being offered is, you know, a bucket of worms or a watering can or a goat. They know what we have and they want to have those chances and those opportunities and that stuff. So I think we have to get that message out there. Otherwise, whatever as a small charity we do, we can't deliver those goods. And then secondly, we're not an aid agency ourselves, but we do encourage people and we ourselves do give money to wherever we can into villages. And so this Christmas, we're raising money for a community that you heard on the film.
Well, what's the reaction been to?
But we're just saying,
hand
over the money. Trust people to decide how they want to spend it, what they want to do with it. And interestingly enough, we had kids from a primary school yesterday that must have heard one of their teachers had been along to see one of our films and had got it for the school. The class has decided to just hand over the money to that community, not to dictate, no strings, no prezi, and to just cough up and forgo buying prezis themselves.
Well, what would you say to those critics who suggest that what you're doing then is a publicity stunt to get the money to your NGO, to your organization, as opposed to the others?
Well, I'd say, you know, don't call raising people's aspirations and putting them on the map spin, because we're not making films to raise money. You know, we're not an aid agency. The fact that we all hand over our own cash and anything else we can get to people who are in a bad way is, I think, what we can all do. And that's not something that we're making a career out of. We're not paid in our charity. We don't have paid staff. So I think it's a different kettle of fish.
Okay, Kerry Dingle, we have to leave it there. Thanks for talking to me today.
Sure, thank you.
Kerry Dingle is the director of the British charity WorldRight, and she is in London, England.
Thanks to Farm Africa, Paolo's family received something incredible.
It is a goat.
Their goat gives them milk, cheese, and more goats to sell. His mother uses the money to send him to school.
Now I can read and write.
Well, that's from Farm Africa, a UK-based aid group that's running a Christmas campaign offering online shoppers the choice of purchasing beehives, camels, chickens, fermented cow's urine, which is a natural pesticide, and, of course, a goat. According to the website, each gift option is designed to help improve the quality of life for Africa's farming families. Well, despite the criticism of so-called ethical gift-giving campaigns, there are plenty of people who say they do more good than harm. Jane Moyo is with the international anti-poverty group Action Aid, a group that encourages ethical giving, and she is in London, England as well. Hello.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
Now, you've just heard our first guest. How do you react to her criticisms?
I think it's fair enough to say that countries in Africa need development, and you need industrial development as well as agricultural development. And most, and I would hope all of the big aid agencies absolutely agree with that viewpoint. But we also have to live in the real world. And as Cherry Dingle herself said, 60% of people in Africa are subsistence farmers. Anything that makes their life better has to be a good thing. The whole point about it is that you have to work with people in the way that they live now, and then you have to help them develop. And as an international aid agency, ActionAid, particularly in Ghana, is totally staffed by Ghanaians, and we believe not in imposing solutions from the West or imposing our own worldview, but working with local people to ensure that whether we give money or goods in kind, that they are used and are appropriate for the situation and that people absolutely want them.
And so the issue of the people want housing and jobs as opposed to these other things, though, are they actually getting those in most African nations?
They need it all. I mean, Africa is the poorest continent on earth, and it has incredible, it experiences incredible poverty in many of its countries. We have things called the Millennium and Development Goals, and Africa is probably the one continent that will be missing most of them, and by a mile in many cases. And a lot of that is to do with the international, with international politics. You have to work at local level, at national and at international level to make a difference. So it's tackling poverty on all fronts is important. And what Gifts in Action does, ethical giving, is ensure that you work at the local level. But you shouldn't forget the important national and international levels too. It's about tackling poverty on all fronts. And the thing about ethical giving is it's a way of enabling the public in the West, in Canada, in the UK, in the US, to show solidarity with poor people at a time of rejoicing and of giving. And that in itself is important, because it's about saying we can all, if we want, make a difference. And it doesn't have to be in a huge way. It can be as simple as giving a goat, which has become ubiquitous. But, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
but let me ask you,
so important.
But let me ask you about the issue of the views then that those of us in the West might have a very simplistic view of what is needed in Africa. Everybody needs a goat, that'll solve the problem.
No, I don't think people do think that, actually.
I think a lot of people don't know what's going on. Do most people know 40% of Africa is urbanized?
60% is rural, and it depends on the country. Between 60 and 70% of African countries are subsistence farming. So agriculture is a massive issue in Africa, and you do need to approach it. And there is great poverty. But I think we can make issues over complex. There are times when we can say, yes, the issues are complex, but actually we can also think of things on a simple person-to-person basis and show solidarity and make a connection with people. I mean, ActionAid has been giving ethical gifts for the past 2 years, and we responded to our supporters who said, look, we want to make a difference. Is there anything that we can do in addition to supporting you? And why don't you give ethical gifts?
So you say you've started this out in the last 2 years you've been doing
yep.
this. What kind of have you seen an increase in donations? What kind of response have you had?
Our ethical gifts, we started it last year, gained £300,000 sterling. So it's a very important fundraising tool. And what I should say is that ActionAid's gifts, you don't get a goat and give a goat. We make it very clear on our website and in our catalogue that we will use the money where appropriate. But this is an example of things that we have done in the last year. So it can be anything from training teachers, and it can be to giving in Ghana, because I know that was where World Right was talking about, helping build plantations of cocoa trees. Because you, as I say, you have to work in the real world, you have to make a difference, and it's not about imposing a worldview, it's about living with reality as it is and building from the bottom up to ensure that things in the future are better. And I know that, for example, World Right have been pretty scathing, although not on this program, about something called grass cutters. Unfortunately, they're not a Christmas gift. I wish they were, because they're an ActionAid project.
Okay, well, a grass cutter is a rodent that actually eats grass, correct?
Yes, it is, but it's also a delicacy in Ghana. It's sells for a very high price, $50. If you give $50 Ghanaian, if you give a family a breeding pair and the wherewithal to look after them, because they are grass eating, the meat is clean, and that they can therefore bring in quite a good sustainable income, and they're actually extremely useful form of alternative income and of protein. And it's those kind of things you have to look at. You know, we can't at the moment, you know, it's not, of course, Africa must develop, and you have to have a whole range of industrialization and agriculture, but let's not pretend that we can't make a difference in the meantime.
Okay, but I just want to clarify, you are making the point that once you bring it down to individual things, like a grass cutter, like a farm animal or a classroom, people are more willing to give.
Yes, you can, because it's concrete. It's about showing solidarity. It's about making the complex simple. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And lots of people in the rich world actually don't need Christmas presents. And this is a way of helping them say to friends and family, look, let's say to people, we all live in a globalizing world, a small world, and we are all our neighbors' keepers.
Okay.
And that we should be available to help people like that.
Jane Moyo, we have to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna-Marie.
Jane Moyo is with ActionAid, an international anti-poverty agency that promotes ethical giving. She spoke to us from London, England. Well, that's all we have for this podcast. You can listen to The Current weekday mornings on CBC Radio 1 right after the 8:30 news, as well as on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. To find out more about our program, visit cbc.ca/thecurrent. If you have any thoughts on what you're hearing on The Current, share them with us. Send us your comments. You can email us at thecurrent, all one word, thecurrent@cbc.ca. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Or call us collect 1-877-287-7366. To subscribe to other great CBC Radio podcasts, check out cbc.ca/podcasting. Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.